Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What an amazing day to be with you here at Servants of Christ. This is the day that we've been looking forward to for a long time. I know for me, since the day I resigned, July 1st, 2022, it has been on my heart and mind. Lord, I know you're calling me to be bishop, but please take care of Servants of Christ. And officially, yesterday, actually this morning, Mary Langland deleted me from the prayer chain. By my request, not by her choice. And she did so because I said, Mary, I said, I feel now that David's here, that he's your rector. I can stop worrying about Servants of Christ. I can quit obsessing about you guys. And I will still be caring for you from time to time. I'm sure I'll find ways to get Father David to come up and kayak with me, or I'll be down here to kayak with him. But I said, you know what? It's time for me to step back. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Yesterday, something historic happened here. We ordained the first permanent deacon to be raised up through this congregation. With Kathy Ayer's ordination, God has brought you as a congregation to a new place to see that level of leadership, a deacon raised up from among you. And along with Megan Troutman, who I had the pleasure to ordain to the diaconate back in March, now you have two amazing deacons to serve in this parish, along with Father David, your new rector. I'm just going to keep saying that over and over again so it becomes comfortable for me. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. As I began to think about the lessons for this week and thinking about what I might say to you, who I love so much in so many ways as Jody and I travel the diocese, it is in the back of my mind that I just want to help every other congregation in this diocese become more like Servants of Christ. Because you have learned to love each other and to care for each other. You're not clergy dependent. You know that it's the body caring for the body. And you need a leader. And now God has brought you a new leader. So thankful for all of you and how you've carried through. But as I thought about the scriptures, getting ahead of myself, I actually asked Nikki to substitute in the Philippians chapter 4 passage. Because for me, Philippians 4 is one of those passages, probably for you too, that you go back to over and over again. But at this appropriate time, you know, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts. How many times over the last months have you prayed that prayer? Either specifically those words from Philippians 4 or in your heart, something very similar. God continually calls us to not be anxious about the future, not be anxious about it. In some ways, you are moving from one place to another, and the way was unknown, and the in-between can be disconcerting, can create anxiety, and Lord knows our world has enough reasons to be anxious. And yet, as we make our supplications, as we make our prayers to the Lord, the peace of Christ, which passes understanding, will fill our hearts. So it just seemed appropriate to begin there with you today, to think about that passage and to rejoice with you. I, like you, have learned to be content, as Paul says in the second part of that, those verses 10 through 13, to be brought low and to be brought high. But in all things, I've learned the secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If there's one thing I would want the testimony of the first 20 years of Servants of Christ to be, and now as you look to the second 20 years, and you're already a year into the second 20 years, is that you would learn that lesson in all things, whether elevated, where things are well, they're going great, yay, we've got a building, yay, we've got a new rector, whatever it is, or the low places, like how will we make budget? What's the future look like? Will the school ever build their gymnasium? Whatever the circumstances, to learn, as Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord has brought you through this transition. And it's important to remember, your former rector speaking to you now your bishop, your new rector that's just been instituted, not institutionalized, but instituted. To remember that it is the Lord Jesus that is your shepherd. and he's the good shepherd, which is why I wanted to ask Nikki. I said, could I put Psalm 23 in there instead of the Psalm appointed? Because we need to be reminded that it is Jesus that is our good shepherd. It is he that has led you through. It is he that has brought you through this transition and that will continue to lead and guide you. But the Lord has used some of those among you to help guide. And I want to just recognize, before we go on, I want to recognize Father James for his work as the interim rector. And Father Bob and Mother Susan. Mother Susan and Father Michael and these clergy that you've had, so amen. And an amazing staff, some of whom are paid and some who aren't. David and Adrian and Nikki and Kim and who am I forgetting? Is that it? And Stacy, who I never actually met, so I can't really thank her, but I know God has used this staff to lead you through. He's also led Ramona Chance as your senior warden and Jose Bawad as your junior warden. And this amazing vestry that I got to have breakfast with, and they have been with you through this. The Lord is, but it's the Lord who's been your shepherd. He's brought you through the transition. The Lord has brought you a new and amazing leader. For the last time, well, probably not for the last time, but I did not handpick David to be your rector. Some people accuse me of that, especially some people up in Georgia accuse me of that a little bit. I did not handpick him, but if I could have, I would have, because he's that good, and he's going to be an amazing rector for you. Just watching him do that children's sermon, I'm thinking, man, why didn't I do a children's sermon every week? It's like, I did it on Christmas Eve, but man, that was golden. I was like, I was loving it. So David is going to lead you to new places. And I want it to be said that, wow, you know, Alex got him started, but David just took him to the next level. I want that to be the testimony. But hear me say that. And David is going to do it. He's an amazing leader. He's going to lead you into new places. He has so gifted him to do this. And unlike me, he has lots of experience doing this coming in. I was so green, having just served as an associate for 2 years. But David served in a large parish for years. And then he went and led a parish in Thomasville, Georgia for 7 years. So he comes to you in a really good situation. He's also been given a gifted, an amazing wife and deacon, Megan Troutman. And if you don't yet know, Megan is a 10-talent person. And she's going to be a blessing to you as well. And her work as a deacon, and it was my privilege, as I said, to ordain her, she's going to serve you well, and she's going to serve the community well as a deacon of the church. And I'm just getting to know them, but Amanda and Daniel and Luke, where are they? There's Amanda. The other two are in the nursery. The Jesus answer. I noticed that was the PK saying the Jesus answer. Jesus was a superhero. That was Luke Troutman, by the way, just so you know. Not the last time you're going to hear from that guy, I imagine. So, but what an amazing family. It reminds me of my own kids as we started at Servants, 8, 5, and 3, coming in to serve and watching them grow up among you. And they still have love and affection for you, which, if you don't know, that's the true test. If the rector's kids want to be in your church, that's a great sign. And this is a place that my kids love, so they send their greetings to you. Trust his leadership. Let him be bold in his leadership. Encourage him. Donald Jennings, who was now with the Lord. Don was in his 80s when I came to St. Michael's 21 years ago. But Don said, Alex, I want to give you permission to try things. If you need to make mistakes, but you lead. You lead us. Retired engineer, he traveled the world, he worked for Fortune 500 companies, and yet he saw the need to bless the leader and to let him fly. Let David fly. Joshua 1, that he used with the children's sermon, I remind you, be strong and courageous. Encourage him to be strong and courageous and follow in his leadership. And you will go to places that you can't even imagine yet. God has been your shepherd through the transition. He's brought you a new leader. But thirdly, I want you to trust the Lord in the future as you have in the past. This is not the end of the journey. This is the beginning. If you will, this is Joshua leading the children of Israel into the promised land. And if you know anything about your Old Testament, you know that there were many challenges to face in the promised land. There were many giants to defeat, among other things. The Lord wants you to be as faithful to him, to trust him in the future as you have been in the past. David is being instituted, or has been instituted, as director today. But each of you is being called. Each of you that is a Servants of Christ member, and by extension, High Springs Anglican Christ Church High Springs is one of our fellowships, to be recommitting yourself today to the work that the Lord wants you to do together in this place. And there's much more work. So for a couple of moments, I want to turn with you over to John chapter 15. Just think about that for a few moments with you, because I think the Lord, in his own words from the Gospel of John, has some encouragement for us. John chapter 15 was the gospel lesson you heard. We pick it up with verse 9. As the Father has loved me, Jesus says, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. I don't think we can fully comprehend that verse. As the Father has loved the Son, so has the Son loved you and me. Abide in that love. Rest in that love. You are beloved of God. You are those precious ones that he was willing to give his life on the cross of Calvary for. Rest in that love. Abide in it. Be connected to it. Remember the chapter 14, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. The same can bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We have to begin by abiding in the Father's love and being reminded that he loves us, that he will always provide for us, even when we can't quite see all the reasons why we're walking through the circumstances we are. Abide in his love. Trust that he loves you, that he cares for you, and that he's going to take care of you in the midst of it. Abide in my love, Jesus says. That's where we begin. For it is out of our recognition, not of our love for God, but that his love is for us, that we begin to be transformed. When we really understand how we're loved, we begin to change. Which is why the next thing I would say to you is remember what Jesus says in the next couple of verses. Verses 10 through 12. Because he immediately begins to talk about keeping his commandments. Abiding in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The things that I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Here's the reality. If we understand the love of God and we begin to be obedient to the things that Jesus calls us to, we will know his joy. A joy that is beyond any human joy that we can possibly imagine. The joy of obedience. The joy of understanding the love of the Father and then receiving the obedience, the commandments of the Son. The scripture says, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. For the joy that comes through obedience. And he is our Lord. He's the one we're to imitate, and so we learn to be obedient. Yes, we're called to obey his commands. We submit to him, but it is because he knows what is best for us. He knows what we need, even when we don't. And I can think back on the life of this parish and dreams I had, thoughts I had, things I thought would go different ways, but the Lord knows his plans. And so we trust him. And I would say to you, David, that God's not going to give you the parish you want. He's going to give you the parish you need. And he's going to equip you, and he's going to bring you to the place, and he's going to bring this congregation to a place that he wants you to be, the light he wants you to be in the city. But there will be times where you will be required, you and your rector, to simply obey him. So you may be going, well, what is the obedience? What is it that he wants us to do? Well, it's really there in the next verse. Chiefly, his commandment is that we would learn to love one another. This takes us right back to John chapter 13, where Jesus has washed the feet of the disciples. And we commemorate this every Monday, Thursday, when we have the foot washing and we remember Jesus taking up the towel and the basin and doing the work of a servant, washing the feet of his disciples. And then what does he say? You do likewise. Years ago, people fought me on calling this church Servants of Christ. And you may be thinking, well, Jesus said we're to be friends of Christ. Maybe we're supposed to change the name today. No, you're not supposed to change the name. At least not until I get out the door. But he says, do as I do. Wash each other's feet. He doesn't just mean the physical act of washing feet, although we commemorate that on Monday, Thursday. He means to sacrificially, in action, to love each other. That meant through COVID, some of us wore masks when we didn't want to. It meant some of us came to church when we were afraid to. It meant that we had to learn to love people who had different perspectives on politics and all other sorts of things. But we do it because our Lord commands us to. And if we obey his commands, we will know his joy. That's what he promises. Jesus does say that we are friends of his. He does call us friends because the servant didn't know in that first century context, didn't know the master's plans. You just, when the master said it, you did it. And by the way, it doesn't work that way with a bishop. They don't obey me the way I would have them to sometimes. But you know, even though you say, whatever you want, bishop, they don't really mean that, by the way. But that's okay, because we're all under a master. But Jesus does call them friends, but he continues to call them also to follow him in his servant ministry. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We're called, yes, to be friends, to know the plans of Jesus, and for the disciples to know that Christ was about to lay down his life for his friends. And so we too are trusted with that knowledge, that we can understand the plans of God, the way through the cross and the resurrection Jesus wants to draw people to himself. And so we're privileged, yes, to be called his friends, but third point, stay humble. Stay humble, my friend. Stay humble. David got that. Stay humble. Because it's not because you're so special or I'm so special, but because we've been chosen. You and I have been chosen. We've been privileged with this knowledge to know the secret of abiding in the love of the Father and the Son, to know the joy that comes through obedience. And now to be the ones who get to bear fruit for him. And I believe you will bear much fruit. What is that fruit? It's to make Christ known. It's to follow as his disciples, to make disciples, learning to do all that Jesus said. Modeling for those around you what the love of Christ looks for. That's the fruit that Jesus wants to live. But it can't simply be by our speech, our wisdom. It's lived out as we model our lives. Servant leaders, those who know the abiding love of Jesus, know the joy of obedience, and walk in humility, servants of Christ. We're just here to serve. We're just one beggar helping another beggar find food. David, lead boldly. Trust the Lord. Model your life after Philippians 4. Study Paul's words. They will hold true to you throughout your ministry as rector of this place. These are good people. They want a leader. They're not stubborn. Well, most of the time they're not stubborn. But be bold. Lead them. Servants of Christ, follow this leader. Trust him. When you don't understand him, talk to him. Don't talk about him. Keep short accounts. Charitable assumptions with not only him, but with each other. abide in the love. The love the Father has for the Son and the Son has for you. Continue to know the joy of obedience and walk humbly with your Lord. You are in our prayers. Even if I'm not on the prayer chain, because frankly, half my emails are prayer chain messages from you guys. So it's just amazing the work and ministry that's being done in this place. But know you're in my heart. You're in Jody's heart. We love you guys. We pray for you. We're so excited for this day and what the Lord will do in the next 20 years by his grace. Amen? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.